This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, May 1st, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Stabenow, Thompson show their cards. SAF rules leave uncertainty and EPA targets insecticide. Stabenow releasing farm bill. Thompson outlines his version. There is big news today on the farm bill front. The House and Senate Agriculture Committees are making dueling moves in the partisan standoff over a new bill. Senate Ag Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow of Michigan is releasing a complete bill, the Rural Prosperity and Food Security Act. A committee staffer says the legislation will include provisions from more than 100 bipartisan bills. In the House, Ag Chairman Glenn Thompson is out today with a high-level summary of his bill that broadly describes each title. Now, while the summary provides few details, the bill includes some modifications to the price loss coverage and agriculture risk coverage and authorizes an expansion of base acres for both ARC and PLC. The bill also includes provisions intended to address Proposition 12. That's the California law setting standards for pork and eggs sold in their state. The conservation title brings Inflation Reduction Act funding into the bill, some of the money allocated to the Conservation Reserve Program. Committee debate of the bill is set for May 23rd. So for our report on the dueling farm bills, you can go to agripulse.com for more. SAF tax credit rules leave ag with uncertainty. The Biden administration has released its long-awaited rules for the new 40B tax credit for sustainable aviation fuel, but they're producing more questions than answers. The 40B guidance is somewhat of an academic exercise, so very little SAF is currently produced, and the 40B credit gives way next year to a more expansive tax credit called 45Z. The rules have yet to be written. Biofuel producers and farm groups are glad agriculture is included as an eligible feedstock for 40B, but they say the rules are way too prescriptive. Corn won't qualify unless the crop is grown with three climate-smart practices: no-till, cover crops, and energy-efficient fertilizer. Soybeans won't qualify unless producers use both cover crops and plant no-till. There are also rules with certifying that crops were grown with climate-smart practices. One view from Josh Gackle, the president of the American Soybean Association, he says, for growers like me here in North Dakota, short growing seasons and unpredictable fall weather make the cover crop requirement alone next to impossible. So what's next? Well, the Treasury Department will be issuing a formal request for information on the 45Z guidance. Among the big questions with 45Z is whether new practices will qualify and whether farmers will be allowed to pick and choose among practices rather than using all of them on the same acreage. For more on the SAF rules, check out our weekly AgriPulse newsletter today. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Ed says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. EPA proposes to cancel most uses of insecticide. EPA is proposing to cancel all but one of the uses for acephate insecticide, citing increased dietary risk from drinking water as well as, quote, worker, homeowner, and ecological risks. The organophosphate, with a trade name including orthine, is currently registered for all agriculture uses, including cotton and soybeans. EPA's proposal would allow the use for tree injection. The American Soybean Association promptly questioned the proposal. Luke Sayas, an ASA director and soybean grower in DeVille, Louisiana, said he's troubled by what a ban on acephate could mean for his farm and community. He said, we're currently have very few tools to manage destructive insect pests, like in this case, red-banded stink bugs, which can inflict significant yield loss if not managed. ASA plans to, quote, carefully examine the agency's acephate claims to ensure they are supported by sound science, Mayas said. The Center for Biological Diversity's Environmental Health Science Director, Nathan Donnelly, called acephate, quote, exceptionally dangerous to human health and said it, quote, rightly belongs in the dustbin of history. The proposed decision comes with a 60-day comment period. Meanwhile, a three-year study commissioned by CropLife America says corn, cotton, and soybean yields would decline up to 70% without pesticides. The study, performed by the University of Arkansas researchers, also says farming the crops without pesticides could use three times more land, water, energy, and greenhouse gas emissions, CropLife said. CAFO panel's membership is set. A new subcommittee formed under the Federal Advisory Committee Act will look at how to reduce nutrients and other water pollutants from animal feeding operations. EPA announced 21 members of the Animal Agriculture and Water Quality Subcommittee yesterday, the first meeting to be held May 30th and 31st at EPA headquarters. Members were appointed from farm and environmental groups, state agencies, and dairy and cattle operations. Among the entities, Earth Justice, Food and Water Watch, the Iowa Environmental Council, Pennsylvania Farm Bureau, the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewer District, Five Rivers Cattle Feeding, Indiana State Poultry Association, Idaho Dairymen's Association, and the National Pork Board. House members reignite call for better medical training on nutrition. Members of Congress are publishing the Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education to better incorporate nutrition education into medical school training. In a letter, lawmakers led by Representatives Jim McGovern of Massachusetts and Vern Buchanan of Florida asked the council to do more to train physicians to screen and treat diet-related diseases. The push follows a bipartisan resolution adopted by the House in 2022 that called for meaningful nutrition education in all phases of medical training. The council hosted a summit on medical education and nutrition in March of 23, but the latest program requirements for pediatrics training do not include nutrition training. Lawmakers pressed the council on these requirements in the letter and inquired about future updates to the common program requirements set for graduate medical education. Taking steps to properly train medical professionals to address these diseases will make people healthier and save the U.S. healthcare system money, McGovern said. As we work together to combat the rising obesity epidemic, increased nutrition education is critically important, said Buchanan. We need to ensure that medical practitioners provide patients with the knowledge and resources necessary to help them lead stronger, happier, and healthier lives. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, May 1st, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.